Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He gives us what I've called the great promise, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that glorifies my Father. Now, some people have been upset about this particular passage because they say, God gave me this promise, whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, He would give me.
Today, we take a look at one of the greatest promises we have from Jesus, to ask anything of Him, and He will do it. But with this promise of answered prayer comes a purpose. Stay with us for part two of our message out of John 14, 12 through 15. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now you may feel inadequate when it comes to doing this great work God calls us to do. I'll just ask a question. Anybody feel inadequate in doing that work? You know why my hand's raised? Because I feel inept. It's not that I feel inadequate to do the work that God's called me to do. It's that I feel inept to be able to do it. I feel like, how am I going to do that? When I was saved, I was 14 years old. I was brought up in the United Methodist Church. Didn't miss a Sunday. From the time I was born, I was brought to church every single week. When I'm 14 years old, a guy sits across the table from me. This is a little bold, but I don't know how bold it is. This is courageous, but I don't know how courageous this is. He's sitting across the table from me, and he says to me, are you going to heaven? That was the question. We're just sitting talking. I remember I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper out of a bottle, glass bottle. And he says, are you going to heaven? I said, yeah. He said, how do you know? I said, because I believe in God. And he said, does the devil believe in God? I said, yeah. He said, is the devil going to heaven? I said, no. And he said, well, then it takes more than just believing God exists, doesn't it? And then he began to explain to me, you have to believe in God, which means you trust in Him, which means you invite Him in, which means you receive what He did for you on the cross so your sins can be forgiven. And then after explaining that to me, he simply said, do you want to pray and invite Jesus into your life? I said, yeah, I would like to pray. And at that moment, even though I'd gone to church my whole life, at that moment, my destiny was changed. I was no longer on my way to hell, but now I was on my way to heaven because an older guy, I'm in high school. What is it, 14 years old, junior high or high school? I'm in eighth or ninth grade. I don't remember which one. And he asks a bold question, and so my life changes. The whole course of my life changes because he's bold enough to ask me a question. And there will be a day when I go up into heaven and I am in the presence of God and I partake of His glory and the glory of heaven, and I will remember that day. I will see that man. I will celebrate that I was no longer destined to be separated from God forever, but I would enter into eternity. The work that He did on that day is a great work. It is a completion of the work of Jesus, but it is a great work. Now, if we feel inadequate, and oftentimes when I want to share Christ with someone and I decide I'm going to share Christ with this person, oftentimes it's just awkward for me. I don't know if it is for you. I'm always like, can I talk to you about Jesus? Or I pick the wrong time. Are you on your way to heaven? What? What? I was wondering if you're going to heaven. What? I pick the wrong times. But Jesus now is going to tell them, you've got this great work to do. It's greater works than I do you're going to do, which means hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of people are going to have their destinies changed by the work Jesus did upon the cross because of what the church goes out and does. We are guaranteed success in this great work when the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's pretty phenomenal. But now Jesus says, the work's going to continue. You're going to do a greater work than I'm going to do. And now I'm going to give you some tools to do that work, which I'm so glad that He's going to give us some tools. So now He talks about those tools. And today we're just going to talk about one of them. We'll talk about another one of those tools in our study next week. So Jesus says, the works that I do, you're going to do. The work is going to continue. And greater works than I do, you will do also. He says, because I go to the Father. He goes to the Father. And because of that, we're going to do a great work, and we'll see why that connection is next week. Why going to the Father allows us to be able to do this greater work. And so he says in verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He gives us what I've called the great promise, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that glorifies my Father. Now, some people have been upset about this particular passage because they say, God gave me this promise, whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, he would give me. And I asked him, and he didn't do it. As if you could say, well, Lord, in the name of Jesus, make me a billionaire. I prayed that prayer sincerely last night from the pulpit, by the way. I thought, let me just go ahead and give you an example of what we do. Lord, in the name of Jesus, make me a billionaire. And I kind of mean that prayer because I think we could do a lot of stuff with $1 billion. We could reach a lot of people with $1 billion. But here's the thing. This incredible promise, ask me anything and I will do it. That's the very next phrase there. Ask me anything and I will do it, was not given to me for me to be able to make $1 billion. It wasn't, or get $1 billion from God. It wasn't given to a heroin addict that in a moment of great distress, they would be able to ask for more heroin. It wasn't given to me if my life is uncomfortable and I've got some things going on that are causing me to lose sleep and life has just taken an ugly turn for me. It wasn't given to me that I could make my life a little bit better. I'm not saying God doesn't do that. Not saying God doesn't care about the little things in our lives. I'm not saying them at all. But what I am saying is that this particular promise is not connected to any of that. It's connected to the greater work that we are going to do. And greater than my work, you will do. And if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to give it to you. Now, asking him something in his name does not mean that you tag on to the end of your prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, give me $1 billion in the name of Jesus. Lord, make my life a little bit better in the name of Jesus. Lord, help my son get into college, full ride in the name of Jesus. I tag on in the name of Jesus to the end of my prayers, most of them. Every once in a while, I rebel against it and don't tag it on just because I feel like we get too much of an idea about what that means. Well, it means in the name of Jesus, this is the formula. Lord, bless our food in the name of Jesus. If I don't say in the name of Jesus, he's not going to bless our food. That's not what it means. It means that you're going to pray something that Jesus wants for you. It means you're lining yourself up with him. This is a very powerful tool that is given to you in context to do the greater work that he's called you to do, which is to see the people around you saved. How many people do you know that their destiny now is hell? That if they were to die, they would be separated from God for eternity. How many in your immediate family? How many are you not sure about? You just have a question about it. How many in your extended family? How many in your co-workers? How many in your acquaintances? What about the Starbucks girl that gives you your Starbucks every morning? Or for me, the dry cleaning lady that hands me my dry cleaning every Wednesday and every Sunday. She knows me so well, when I pull my truck up out front, she goes and gets the stuff and hangs them up for me. I don't know whether she knows the Lord or not. She said to me one time, I saw you on TV. What's her destiny? And has God put her in the path of my life, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, someone who's been given the keys to the kingdom, a city, a light set on a hill, a light that's not supposed to be hidden under a basket, because God wants me to be used to change her destiny. And since I feel inept, since I feel inadequate, God gives me a tool. Jesus says, I'm right there with you. And if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it to glorify the Father. And so when I say, Lord, I don't know much about this gal who's giving me my dry cleaning, but Lord, would you touch her? Would you draw her? Would you reveal yourself to her? Would you bring Christians to her? Would you give me an opportunity to share in the name of Jesus? See, those things I'm sure Jesus wants. Wanting me to have $1 billion, he probably doesn't want. If God probably thinks, if I give you $1 billion, Robert, you're going to go out and buy a $200,000 fishing boat. So I'm not going to give it to you. God says, you don't need it because you're just going to go and do this with it instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing. By the way, with $1 billion, you could probably buy a lot more than a $200,000 fishing boat, right? You could buy a $2 million fishing boat or a $20 million fishing boat. But I can be sure that God wants to reach that girl with the gospel that I barely know. But God has put her in the path of my life. And God gave me and you the keys to the kingdom. And sometimes we're using this prayer, and people say, use this prayer like, Lord, make my life better. Make my life more comfortable. God, I'm really struggling here. I don't like the way I look in the mirror. I'm having a bad hair day. God, what a horrible haircut. In the name of Jesus, let me get a good haircut. We're using this incredible promise for our own comfort and our own reasons. And I just wonder if the work that we're supposed to be doing, this great work, is going undone because we're not making a connection with how great the work is, changing people's destinies, and the power he gives us to be able to do it. So do you think if I begin to really faithfully pray for that girl, you know, maybe not even in a real formal way, I really want to make a list. I had determined from this study this last week that I'm going to make a list to put on my desk of people that I don't know the Lord that I'm going to pray for regularly. If you sneak into my house, don't look at the list. You might be on it. No. But I've determined that I'm going to do that. But even in an informal manner, what if I just decided every time that I go to pick up my dry cleaning, which is like my habits are the same all the time. Every like 11:30 on Wednesday and 11:30 on Saturday, I get up, I go check the P.O. box, I go to the dry cleaner. What if I just sat in my truck for 30 seconds and prayed for them before I went in? Just called out on his name, said, you said this. You said if I asked it in your name, I'm just doing what you said. So God, will you do something? In a course of however many years God has me in their life before they get a new job or get fired or whatever, I wonder what would happen. I wonder if God might not change their destiny, if God might not give them eternity, so that on the day that I enter into heaven, the Bible says, make friends for heaven with the manna you have. A mammon, not manna. I don't have any manna. Maybe you do. But mammon. Mammon is stuff, money. When we get into heaven, I believe that we are going to meet the people that we have influenced for Christ. But here's the thing. We all do this work together. A while ago, this is a long time ago, I heard somebody say, only 5% of Christians bring someone to Christ. So I kind of get down on the church with that. Bill Bright was one of those that used this statistic. And he set out to train Christians how to share their faith. Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to have a training. You kind of go through some ideas on how you can share your faith. But if you don't ever pray for someone to enter into the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean that you haven't done the work of evangelism. Because the Bible says one man sows and another man plants. And God gives the increase. If what Bill Bright and others meant with only 5% of people ever bring someone into the kingdom of God meant that because at the end of a service, I go, how many of you here would like to receive Jesus and invite him into your life? And five people raised their hand that morning. And I would be one of the 5%. But here's the crazy thing. I didn't do the work. I didn't know those people. You knew them. You prayed for them. You talked with them. You went through the awkward phase of saying, it's worth me loving them enough to ask them, are you going to heaven? You invited them to church. I just got to get here and say, you want to know Jesus? Raise your hand. And they raised their hand. And so people ask me, what is it like to have God use you in such a powerful way that you see people come into the kingdom? You know my response to that is, it's amazing. When we have altar calls and a lot of people respond, I leave on cloud 9 because I know how many people change their destiny. But how many of you guys think I did the heavy lifting? How many of you guys think that Greg Laurie does the heavy lifting when he does a crusade? He does a crusade and 20,000 people come forward. You think Greg's doing the heavy lifting on all those people? Nope. Greg is just given the gift of evangelism to glorify God and see people come into heaven, and praise God for that. And I'll support him in every way that I can because of that incredible gift that God has given him. And I wish we all had that kind of a gift. But the heavy lifting is done when you plant and you water. And shame on these people who say, you only 5% of people bring people to Christ. I'd like to see you do that without the church. I'd like to see you do whatever you think your 5% is without the rest of the body of Christ. Nah, water and plant and pray and pray in the name of Jesus. And see the Father glorified by what you do, because we have those promises in him. Do the work and enjoy the fruit that abounds to your account because you're doing the work. Even if you never see them come to Christ. I can tell you that I'm almost always surprised when I say to someone, would you like to receive Jesus today? When I used to do premarital counseling, I don't do it anymore. We have a lot of pastors on staff that do that. But I used to do premarital counseling. And in one of the premarital counseling classes, I would explain what it means to be a Christian, just because I wanted them to really know. They would go to the church, but I'd explain it. And then I would say to them at one point, would you like to pray and invite Jesus into your life? I was so blown away how often people said yes. How often, through my little explanation, which seemed very mechanical to me, there were tears in their eyes when I was done. God was touching their hearts as I faithfully did what God wanted me to do in reaching out and touching their lives. You think about the Billy Graham Crusades and how many people Billy Graham touched over the years. I heard a Billy Graham quote the other day that I thought was incredibly powerful. I'm going to see how much time I got left. None. I heard a Billy Graham quote that was very incredibly powerful. Billy Graham said, you can't change your past. He said it like Billy Graham, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. You can't change where you've been, but you can change where you're going. But then he said this, but God can change your past. He can take away your sins. He can give you a clean white robe, and God can change your future. And that is the call that you and I have. Now, there's one more thing we need to look at here, even though I'm out of time. And that's in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. This promise of doing the work that God's called him to do is if you believe in my name and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is our test. This is how you know if you're a genuine Christian. It's not how I know if you're a genuine Christian. It's how you know if you're a genuine Christian. John put it this way in John chapter 1. If you say you love God, but you don't keep his commandments, then you are a liar. Now, John put it pretty direct there. In other words, what he's saying is, some of you guys here are listening to this message, and you think that you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city set on a hill, a light that has been lit to not put under a bushel, but in reality, you're a tare and you're not a wheat. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And some will say, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And he'll say, away from me, for I never knew you. If you want to do this work, you want to do it by the power of the Spirit, which we'll talk about next week. You want to do it faithfully for him. You have to make sure you're really a Christian. And now here's the test. If you love him, you want to keep his commandments. I run into people who say, I'm a Christian, I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. If that's you today, if you say, I'm not interested in finding out what God wants me to do, and I don't want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm a Christian, I'm not so sure you are. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying I'm not so sure you are. That's the test. If you say, I just want to live for myself, I want to live my own life, I don't really care about the lost, I don't care about praying for the lost, I just want my life to be better, I want to go out and live in the flesh, there's certain things that I want to do, and I don't want to do what God wants me to do. One of the things that happens when you are born again, the Bible says you become a new creation, you become a new creature. Part of that is a desire to please God, a desire to do what he wants you to do. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you always do it. It doesn't mean you don't blow it. All of us do, okay? There's not a person in here who doesn't sin. There's not a person in here who wants to do what Jesus wants them to do but doesn't do it, okay? I'm not saying you have to become perfect. I'm not laying a heavy trip on you, man, that you can't carry. The trip I'm laying on you is one you can carry, which is a desire to please God. And if by chance you don't have that, then would you call out to God today? If you say, I love him, but I don't want to keep his commandments, then you're probably not going to heaven. And I'll close this service by asking you, are you going to heaven? Is that your destiny? And if you're not sure, then make sure today by receiving him and the work that he did on the cross before you leave this building today, say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want this promise to be true of me. If you believe in my name, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these, you will do also. And if you ask anything in my name to bring glory to God, I will do it. Then that will be true of you, and you will be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill, the one that has the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We will be effective at seeing people come to Christ and doing this great work, and I don't know that there's anything greater that we can do. That if we would simply begin to pray, now pray for our family, friends, co-workers, acquaintances. Ask God to touch their lives and intervene. God changes destinies. When we pray this way, God moves. Would you use that tool that God's given you? Find a way to do it. Begin to pray for the people that are around you who don't know Jesus. Be bold enough and courageous enough to ask the question, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? See how they would respond. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you again so much for your word. It truly encourages us that we would be the kind of men and women you want us to be, but today that we would be the Christians you want us to be. Not so concerned about what we get out of it, but more concerned about those who are perishing, those who need to come to you. Expand our horizon that we would be soul winners with you, that we would see the people around us, what a tragedy that they would know us, even if I'm just picking up the dry cleaning from them, for years and not ever, ever be influenced to come to Christ because they know us. Thank you for this. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.